And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, that she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy master, for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Beautiful story. It really is. Lord, we're asking your blessing and anointing on your word, on every individual that's here. God, you know what our needs are. And God, you told us that the power is in prayer and worship. And God, we ask your mercy, your touch. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, I want to talk about two love stories. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking it's about my wife and her Prince Charming. Amen. I still am your Prince Charming. Yeah. She kissed a frog a long time ago, and here I am. Amen. Although this whole Bible is filled with love and romance, it really is. There are lots of adventures and intrigue, but there is a lot of begotten going on. Amen. Millions of dollars are spent every year on fictional romances, you know, that people are making up. There's no truth to them, but people gobble them up because they want to hear about a romance between two fictional people and what they do. There's a stimulation, I guess, amen, when they could just pick up the Bible and read the real thing. Lots of them. Adam and Eve, first romance. But I was thinking, you know, Eve gave Adam an apple and that created the fall of mankind. For the rest of their life, did he keep saying, you know, if you hadn't given me that apple, or did the romance continue? Abraham and Sarah. Abraham puts Sarah in a very precarious situation, you know, where a king wants to now marry her, thinking that it's Abraham's sister, Jacob and Rachel. You know, 7 years he works for Rachel, and then he discovers he just married Leah. Oh, now what? But the relationship, the romance continued, even Hosea and Gomer, which is probably the most incredible love story. Amen. There are some guys here who have already turned me out. And just wait a minute. We'll get to the intrigue, you know. Amen. In Genesis 24, Abraham was an old man, and he, the Bible says, was stricken in age and was living in a land of the Canaanites, not his home, but in a strange, we're living in a strange place. This is not our home, folks. And Abraham was concerned that his son would take a wife from the Canaanites outside of the family. So he made his servant swear that he would go back to Abraham's country and kindred to find a wife for Isaac. The son that he loved more than life himself. Is there anything more important than our family and protecting our family? Amen. Amen. Abraham's servant said, What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me? that I have chosen. Should I then take Isaac back to the country that you came from and let him pick out a wife? And Abraham said, do not take Isaac back. She will come with you willingly. And then in verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, this is what Abraham said, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that swore unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angels before thee, and thou shalt take unto my son from thence. So God is so concerned that he actually, has an angel prepare the way for the servant of Abraham in order to find a wife for his son who is a part of his kindred. Now, I remember my daughter saying to me when she was probably about 18 years old, she said, Dad, I'll never get married because there isn't anybody in the church that I'm interested in at all. And I said, God's going to find someone for you. Amen. And a year later, she meets this guy named Michael Portman. And he is filled with the Holy Ghost on the Sunday before Labor Day many years ago. And I wonder if angels were involved in picking a wife or picking a husband. Amen. If it works for Isaac, I believe it can work for us young people. So why didn't Abraham want the servant to take Isaac back to look for his wife on his own? I believe that the wife-to-be would have to make a commitment to marry before she would ever see her husband. This could preach to the right crowd. Anybody see your husband? You see, we made a commitment to God long before we'll ever see him, you see. None of us have seen Jesus before we made the commitment that we will one day marry him. A servant came to us with a proposal. Will you follow me to marry this rich man's son? Amen. Somebody came to you. Some servant of the Lord came to you and said, you know, my master's son, who is very wealthy, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he is really interested in you. Will you come to church? Glory to God. Would you turn to 1 Peter 1? I know your husbands may not get excited about this, but ladies, would you please help me in this love story situation? 1 Peter 1 and 7 says, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There's going to be some problems, there's going to be some issues, you know, in the relationship between us, but I'm telling you, it's going to be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. We got all excited this morning about a God that we have never seen. In fact, the Bible says that there isn't anything about his appearance and that he's comely at all to make us want to gravitate to him. But it's not about the seeing. It's about the God in his nature, his character, his love, his mercy that is extended to each and every one of us. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Amen. Jesus said in John 20 and 29, Thomas wasn't in church. Everybody else was, but Thomas wasn't there. And there was a blowout service. In fact, it was so good that Jesus showed up. Sounds like one of our services, you know. It was so good that God actually came. And Jesus said in verse 29, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet believe. No, I haven't seen him, but he has touched me. He has changed me. He has wooed me. He has given me many presents and many gifts. Hallelujah. This whole love story of Isaac and Rebekah is a shadow and type of our own relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the shadows and types, especially in the Old Testament, that concern me. They're just not stories that are arbitrarily put in the Bible so we fill up some pages, folks. So much of our relationship with God is by faith, believing without seeing. In fact, without faith, it's impossible to please God. There are certain things that we have committed to that we believe is going to happen. Anybody believe in the rapture? It's going to happen, and by that, we're pleasing our God. So the servant starts out and takes 10 camels and lots of precious gifts from his master. How many got lots of precious gifts from your master long before you ever got to the place of even engagement, you know? Okay. God, I'm here at the well, and I have all of the camels, and they're all kneeling, ready to drink at the well. And the woman of the city, the women of the city are coming at evening time in order to draw water from the well. It's just what they do. Every evening they come to the well, and there's all kinds of ladies who come in order to get the water. And I know why I'm here, but Lord, could you show me a sign? Anybody ever ask God for a sign? There's a lot of signs in here, folks. Now, I'll tell you, if God tells you in this word, he's not going to give you a sign to confirm what his word has already said. You know? Abraham already told you there's an angel that's going to guide you, you know? But the mercy of God says, okay, we'll put water on the fleece, and then if that doesn't work, we'll put water on the ground, and the fleece will be dry, you know. He is so long-suffering with us. Amen. It said, how will I know which of these should be the wife of my master's son? May it be that when I say to the girl, please let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, and she will say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So here's what I want to happen. Like we should tell God what should happen, you know? Yeah, I believe you kind of, but could you just, you know, do it my way? Let her be the one that you have chosen for your servant Isaac. And the Bible says, before he had done speaking, behold, Rebekah came out with her pitcher on her shoulders, then offered the servant to drink and volunteered to water all his camels. We're talking about 10 camels, folks. Amen. We're not just talking about a drink of water here. How many of you have asked God, could you have somebody, when I get to work, have them ask me, what kind of church do you go to? Or let them ask about the picnic tomorrow, you know? Most won't even stop to give you a drink. Most people are so involved in their own lives, they don't want to talk to you about the prospects of a new relationship with God. But then there is the one. There's the one who said, you know what? I'm looking for some romance in my life. There's a void in me, and I've been thinking about God a lot, you know. And I'll tell you what, not only will I come to church with you, but I'll sit in 10 weeks of Bible studies. Hallelujah. That's the one, God. That's the one. That's the one you've been waiting for. In fact, I was the one, and you were the one. God sent an angel to guide us to just one, the one who has been looking for you. You and I have been sent by the Master to find another bride for him. The servant that's willing. Tell them about all of the gifts. Tell them about how rich your God is. Tell them about how miraculous our God is, how he heals those that are sick. He raises them from the dead. He does mighty, wonderful work. Tell them. And there's going to be somebody who comes to the well that is really willing. Hallelujah. Someone who will make a commitment long before they ever see Jesus. Do you know how much effort it took in order to water 10 camels? When we were in Egypt, we got up close to some of those camels. And I mean, in fact, my wife rode on a camel out to the pyramids, almost fell off a camel. Amen. When the camels want you to disembark, the camel has to kneel, and she wasn't ready for it. When the camel went down, she went over the top of the camel, and one of the guys there grabbed her. Otherwise, she'd have been in the sand. But each camel can drink up to 50 gallons of water. I looked it up. 1 gallon weighs 8 pounds, so that's 400 pounds of water per camel times 10 camels, or 2 tons of water that she had to carry in order to take care of their thirst. Now, that's commitment before she ever knew about Isaac. I'm amazed what people will do in order to have a relationship with God. Denominational churches have forced people to do all kinds of things that don't ever get them close to God. We were in Mexico City, and we saw ladies crawling on their knees on cobblestone streets with flowers or balloons because they thought it would be pleasing to God, you know? It's not the deal, folks. She was immediately given precious gifts from the Master, right then and there. And she invited the servant to come stay with her at her home, her family. So if you turn back to Genesis 24, starting in verse 26, and the man bowed down his head. And worship the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out onto the man, onto the well. Glory to God. Amen. Did you know that we're all lost relatives of our God? Amen. Hallelujah. The servant rehearsed all of what happened, and Rebekah's family gave the blessing for her to leave and go marry a man that she had never met before, but it was still up to Rebekah in order to agree. And verse 58 says, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Now, there are a lot of people who can persuade you to come to church. There are a lot of people who can persuade you to do something in the name of the Lord. But ultimately, we all work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I have to make my own decision. Listen, you will not be saved by your husband, and you will not be saved by your wife if you don't make your own commitment, if you're not going the way that you need to go. Now, the best part of the love story is when she meets her husband that she never, ever saw before. Isaac was walking in the field at early evening, and he saw the camels were coming. He knew that the servant was coming back. He knew all of why he went. He went to bring a bride back. And when Rebecca saw Isaac, well, the Bible says she lighted off her camel. Now, the word light here in the Hebrew says fell. So literally, when she saw Isaac, she fell off her camel. Glory to God. A little excited about the one who... Did you get excited this morning? Did you fall off your camel this morning? Hallelujah. Can you imagine what it's going to be like on the day we see Jesus? I don't think there'll be anybody standing. We're going to fall down on our face and say, oh my God, I've been waiting to see you all these years. Some at this point would say, the end. No, this is the beginning, folks. Amen. When you got the Holy Ghost and were baptized in Jesus, that wasn't the end of the story. That was the beginning of the story. In fact, there will never be an end to the story because, like I said in Hosea, forever. Forever. So, do you have a love story of your own? I'm not talking about you and your wife or your husband. I'm talking about the love story each of us have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you didn't fall in love with him, it has been the beginning of a great romance. We used to sing that song, I just keep falling in love with him over and over, over and over again. He just gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, the love I have between my Lord and I. Hallelujah. You got to keep this thing going, folks. Amen. Have you said something sweet to him? Have you done something for him? Have you watered the burdens of the beast? Amen. God, I love you so much. I'm going to help somebody in the church. Whatever it takes, God, I know it's pleasing for you. Amen. Those 10 camels represent burdens. I'm just here for myself. Amen. I'm sorry. You're not as in love with the master as you thought. Because you got to take on the burdens of the master. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Last few days, there's been some things that aren't even connected to this church, but other churches, and it just consumed me in prayer. And because what bothers God bothers me. Amen. Amen. Chapter after chapter of the love between us and the one who is coming back for us. We have many, many chapters. Nobody knows the story like you know the story. He's the author and the finisher of your love story. And you need to rehearse it over and over. Here's what God did for me. Amen. Oh, but I said I talk about two great love stories. This one is even more touching than the first. The scene is also at a well. Isn't that amazing? Where a groom is looking for a bride again. But in this story, the bride can actually see the groom, but the bride can't recognize who the groom is. Hallelujah. Oh, Thomas, you know, it's too bad you saw him, because blessed are they who have not seen him and still believe. Would you turn to John, the 4th chapter? John chapter 4, starting in verse number 6, very familiar scripture. Now, Jacob's well was there. The well never moves, folks. It's always in the same place. Years ago, we were in Israel, and we actually drank from Jacob's well. Now, it was about 3 stories down, but there was the well. We know, because there's a lot of things that have moved around in Israel, but the wells never move. And so it says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. Here again, the ladies were now coming to the well to get water. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Sound familiar? For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Hallelujah. So instead of going back to the place that Abraham was born, you know, because I want to be very selective, now he's saying, you know what? Come on, drink. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto him, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him. In him. A well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. Glory to God. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now, she just doesn't have a clue yet. I want to get some water that I don't have to keep coming back to the well. It doesn't work that way in the church, folks. Hallelujah. You got to keep coming to the well. Hallelujah. Amen. Or you're going to get a thirst for something else if you don't get the thirst for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And it goes on to the scriptures that talk about worshiping in spirit and in truth. You know what it tells me? 5 husbands living with a man, and I'm not satisfied. I've got the house, I've got the car, I'm not satisfied. I'm still thirsty. I still am looking for something that's going to satisfy me, but So far, I haven't found anything that really satisfies the longing in my soul. Forty-two years ago, I had lunch with my wife. And I remember saying, we've got to find a church. Didn't know anything about truth. But I knew one thing. I was the president of a company, had the car, had the house. We had two beautiful children. I had a beautiful wife who was faithful. And I wasn't satisfied. And I remember her saying, what's wrong with our marriage? I said, it's not something wrong with our marriage. There's something in me that isn't satisfied with what we have. And we're supposed to be satisfied at this point. We take the trips. We have enough money to do what we want. But I'm not satisfied. And she was willing to go on a hunt for something that would satisfy the longing in both of our souls, but because I didn't know she was praying for the same thing that I was. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll notice that in both love stories, it revolves around drawing of water from a well. The word well in the Hebrew means a fountain or a source of satisfaction. And the word well in the Greek means a source of enjoyment. So the only way we can feel enjoyment and satisfaction in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. So each of us need to meet Jesus at a source of satisfaction and a source of enjoyment. It's not coming to church because I have to or the pastor keeps saying, come on, come to church. No, it's something that satisfies me every time. I'm not thirsty anymore as I walk out these doors. Hallelujah. God has created in us a void that cannot be filled with anything except God. And we knew that when we came into the church. But also even after we've been in the church, we can become dissatisfied even with the relationship with God if we're not coming back to the well over and over again. Hallelujah. Maybe there's something else out there. Maybe there's some kind of hobby or a job I can throw myself into, or maybe even another relationship. You see, this woman is looking for something that would completely satisfy her, that the five husbands and the one man she's living with didn't. Her seventh husband would satisfy her, Jesus Christ. John 4 and 13 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Nothing in the world will ever permanently satisfy us and give us joy. Celebrities, multimillionaires, committing suicide, having relationships with other people outside their marriage, doing things that are absolutely bizarre. Why? Because they're not satisfied with everything that they've accumulated, all of the freedom that they have. Verse 14 says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give them shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give them shall be in him. This is a water that doesn't evaporate. this is a water that stays with you, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What water do we have in us? It's the Holy Ghost, which is also the engagement ring to God's betrothed. Amen. When you get God's Spirit within you, then all of a sudden the thirst for other things just doesn't seem important at all. It's just amazing. I don't care. I'm not tempted by this anymore because I'm so satisfied because I've been in the presence of God. I have drank in the Spirit of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So what happens is we make this commitment, and then all of a sudden the servant brings out all of the gifts. The greatest gift is the Holy Ghost. It says that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. He's already given us a down payment on eternity by giving us that living water or the Holy Ghost, which stays in us. Glory to God. Thank God for the ring. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you showing it off? You know, some of you ladies, you know, walk around like this, you know, and you have to wear sunglasses. But when we walk around, are we glowing with the Holy Ghost? Do they see the earnest of our inheritance? Hallelujah. You see, if you are looking for a husband, I can make a recommendation. You will always find him at the well. It's where I found him. Amen. And if you are thirsty, he will give you living water. He will fill you with the Spirit of God that will satisfy you like nothing else satisfies you. The engagement ring that will forever flow like a river of living water. John chapter 7. Verse 37, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, now he got a little loud because he wants everybody to hear. Thank God for amplification. Amen. Everybody. He said, if you have ears, then hear. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as this denomination says, no, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, what are you talking about? But this spake he of the Spirit. Living water is the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Hallelujah. So it becomes very obvious what this living water is. It's the Holy Ghost that satisfies, that not only fills us, but flows out of us as we continue to come to the well and draw out of the well Amen. I am not the well drawer of water for everyone. You have to draw your own water. You can't just show up at a church service and say, come on, come on, come on, give me some more to drink. No, get your own water. Get your own refreshing. Hallelujah. Now here's a prerequisite. You must meet him at the well, but you are the one that must draw the water. Is this plain? You have to draw the water. Amen. Not enough just to sit at the edge of the well. It's not enough just to kneel down by the well like those camels did. Not enough just to stand by the well. Hallelujah. But you need to be immersed in the Holy Ghost, because I am the pitcher. I am the vessel, you see. And I have to go down into the water and get filled up again. There's an abundance of spirit. I felt it at 35,000 feet. I felt it in all kinds of countries all over this world. And it will sustain your marriage. I'm talking about the marriage between you and God. Amen. But it'll also sustain your earthly marriage. Jesus is asking you to draw the water from the well. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. On Mondays, shouldn't be anybody that's thirsty. We can't just stand around. Jesus talked to us a little bit. Not enough. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. He knows what will sustain you. I can read this book and I can be faithful to church services, but the thing that sustains me in my walk with God is the Holy Ghost within me, you see, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17 is one of my favorite scriptures. It says this, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I looked up that word liberty yesterday, and it means unrestrained pleasure. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's unrestrained pleasure. Hallelujah. I need a position in a church. I don't have the friends I should have. No, all you need is another gulp of the Holy Ghost. The church's got to be alive. Amen. We have visitors that walk into this church on a regular basis. They got to see something in us that they want. Something exciting, you know? I don't believe that the angels sing sad songs, you know? And you know, even though there are sad situations always in the church, we're not sad people. There is a joy unspeakable and full of glory for the one we have never seen before, but he's coming back. Amen. Our last scripture, if our musicians would come, is found in Isaiah, the 12th chapter. Isaiah chapter 12, and starting in verse number 1. See if this fits. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Aren't you glad that when you mess up, and you will, that God doesn't keep bringing it up over and over and over again? You were angry. I know you were angry, but you know what? Now, instead of your anger, you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Hallelujah. There isn't a question that you have a vessel in order to draw well water from, and that's you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And in that day we shall say, praise the Lord. Amen. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. You see, once you get the Holy Ghost, once you get that water, make mention of his name. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all of the earth. Cry out and shout. Thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Let's see, 47 years ago, I built a home a little ways from here, and I was the contractor, and part of what I had to do is contract a well driller, you know? And so he came out, and he was just a pleasant guy. So knowledgeable. I must have went out there three or four times, say, how's it going? Straight down. Well, finally, he told me, I hit a rock. And that's good. Because now I know that we hit a good base, and it seems like we have plenty of flow. It's about 400 feet, and you should have no trouble getting water at all. Every foot costs a little bit, you know, because you have to have pipe that goes down, electricity, and then a well pump. And I got a better well pump than I probably could have gotten away with. 47 years, every time I turn the faucet, water comes out. I've never had to replace the motor, you know, lots of showers. I take a shower every month. And no problem. No problem. You know why? We hit a rock. We went deep enough. And we got a flow going. Hallelujah. And I never wonder. Well, I hope there's enough water for a shower today. You know? Glory to God. Amen. How's it going? Straight up? Amen. Hallelujah. Do you have enough for tomorrow? Do you have enough to cleanse you? Do you have enough to satisfy you? Is there a good flow even on a Tuesday and a Thursday? You see? Because it's what will sustain you. I'll tell you one last sad story. I bought a house. I think we were married for a year and a half. Bought a little bitty house. It was very expensive, $14,000. But the problem was is that we shared a well with the neighbor. And the neighbor wasn't a very friendly guy. Amen. So we would have company come over, and he would turn the well off. we wouldn't have any water, you know? And I don't want that pump to burn out because you guys are using too much water, you know? So I said, okay, we'll just call the police and they'll fix the problem, you know? And so the police would come and say, you can't do that. You can't turn the water off. And the guy would turn the water on. And then the police would leave and he'd turn the water off. I think we owned that house for only a year and a half. You know, you don't know what good neighbors are like until you've got a bad neighbor. But there's a bad neighbor in the neighborhood here who wants to turn your water off. Oh, I got problems with somebody in the church. Well, we'll turn the water off. That'll fix you. Really? You need a flow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. When we were in Nigeria, there would be people wind up to a little pipeline just to fill a bucket or so, you know. And in fact, the missionary would have to buy water. It was so scarce there. Amen. But this morning, all the water you want, ankle deep, up to your knees, up to your waist. If you want to swim in that water this morning, hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Amen. Now the preaching didn't fill you up. Now bring your buckets. Get all you can. The altar's open.